Hello there. I'm Professor Peter Schickele.
I'm Professor P. Schickele of the University of Southern North Dakota at Hoople.
This is Professor Schickele.
Yes, that's right. The Professor Peter Schickele.
He's a very apologetic and delinquent Peter Schickele.
So we're going to be featuring the music of Petey Kubak on the program tonight. We'll be doing a whole slew of pieces by the infamous Minnie Meister.
Birdcliff and the Woodstock Chimes Fund present Woodstock Offbeat 2012, the musical life of Peter Schickele, a benefit for the Woodstock Birdcliff Guild concert tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at the Maverick Concert Hall. It is a retrospective of the works of Peter Schickele and Petey Kubak, and Professor Schickele will also be joined by a group of instrumentalists and vocalists. Composer, musician, author, satirist, Peter Schickele is internationally recognized as one of the most versatile artists in the field of music. His works, now well in excess of 100 for symphony orchestras, choral groups, chamber ensembles, voice, movies and television, the discoverer of the works of Petey Kubak. He also was the longtime host of Public Radio International's wonderful program, Schickele Mix, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Peter Schickele to the roundtable this morning. What a delight to have you before our microphones.
Thank you very much.
When you have an event like this, which is the musical life of Peter Schickele, it has been a very musical life, hasn't it?
It has been pretty much. I was not a child prodigy. I didn't get interested in music till I was 12 or 13, which is pretty late by those standards. And one of the people who got me interested in music was Spike Jonze. Our older listeners may remember had a comedy band in the 40s and 50s. And
it was Spike Jonze and the
City Slickers.
And the City Slickers, right.
Yeah. And I was a complete nut about Spike Jonze. And I was sort of theatrically interested as a kid and was played in amateur theater productions and stuff like that. And Spike Jonze had a very funny stage show. And so it was really the comedy and theatrical part that got me first interested. But during my teenage years, I got more and more interested in the music and ended up being a composer.
One of the things that was fascinating about Spike Jonze is that there was the humor. It was very, very funny. It was parody. It was satire. But also, there was great musicality to it.
Top-notch musicality. And that's one of the things I think I subconsciously learned. He had a crack band that was, to me, pushed by his trumpet player, George Rock.
Yeah.
And when I was still touring with Petey Kubak and I was going out to play with some real podunk orchestra, so people say, oh, well, that'll be perfect for Petey Kubak. But actually, it was best when it was the Chicago Symphony or the L.A., something like that, because the better played it is, the funnier it is.
Yeah. How did that when you got more interested in the composing and of the music, then how did the two meet as far as then making that accessible not only to a classical audience but to a wider audience?
Well, I never chose between the two, the serious music and the funny music. I started writing serious pieces when I was a teenager. And I'm still doing it. And likewise, discovering Petey Kubak pieces is something I'm still doing. And as far as the nature of the audience goes, particularly when I was still touring Petey Kubak, there was always a lot of visual humor in the shows. There was a lot of, I'm a great fan of slapstick humor, well done. And also the spoken introductions that was basically stand-up material. So there was, I think, something for everybody to enjoy, even if they weren't musically conoscenti.
Petey Kubak came about how?
Well, it was just very, very casual. My brother and a friend and I, when we were maybe 18, made a little tape. We'd been listening to Johann Sebastian Bach's Coffee Cantata, which is one of his few humorous works. And I came up with a piece called the Sanka Cantata, and we recorded it, and we decided to make the recording in the form of a radio broadcast, so then we needed a composer. And one of the three of us suggested Petey Kubak, because there were so many Bachs. There's CPE Bach. They're all known by their initials often. And so he suggested Petey Kubak, or one of us did, And that was that until 6 years later when at Juilliard, when I was a student at Juilliard, I started doing humorous concerts at the end of the school year just for the student body. And that name, PDQ Bach, sort of surfaced and became attached.
And did you look at it as two separate characters? I mean, you know, yeah. there was you, and then there was this other entity.
Yeah, I kept them quite separate. Although one of the interesting things about tomorrow night's concert is going to be that there's a Peter Schickele piece on it, in which the last movement is Peter Schickele writing variations on a theme by PDQ Bach. I decided it was time for a little incest. And so that was a lot of fun. But I do more or less keep them separate. But it's not too separate. There are funny places in Peter Schickele music and actually some quite beautiful places here and there in PDQ Bach. So it's a mess.
But a lovely mess, and a very, very, very enjoyable mess. You know, when we do the fun drives, the one thing we hear all the time is about Schickele Mix.
Yeah.
And, you know, that show just struck such a chord. You did it for how long?
About 8 years, I think, and it was certainly one of the funnest things I've ever done. It just... I quit touring PDQ Bach for that time and concentrated on the radio show. And it just, you know, we all like to sound off. And when you have your own radio show, you get to sound off and people have to listen.
You did very creative things on that show, though. The one thing I loved about it is that you really use which certainly fits into what you do anyway, but how you use the medium of using radio, of using the imagination, that was wonderful.
Well, it's a cliche to say, but it's nevertheless true that radio is great for that because you can do anything you want on radio.
It's, right.
I think it was a Stan Freberg who said you can fill Lake Michigan with milk and all you need...
Oh, with whipped cream and drop the maraschino
right,
cherry with the Royal Canadian Air Force.
Right, all you need is the sound effects. And so it was just a wonderful opportunity to realize anything and to... You know, it was educational in its way, but I'm incapable of not trying to entertain as well. And so it was a wonderful run. I loved doing it.
And then at some point you just say, okay, I've done enough.
Well, it wasn't that so much. We actually ran out of money because the funny thing is that you'd think that they'd be able to find some companies to underwrite it, but the program sort of fell in between. People said, is it educational or entertaining? Which is it? You know, well, I don't like to choose, so that's
right.
The problem. And so I guess I know they tried hard. They talked to a lot of companies about underwriting it, but I guess these companies had the same reservation. We don't know whether it's educational or entertaining. And anyway, the bottom line was that there was no bottom line, so we had to give it up. But I made about 167 of them. It was a nice run.
Yeah. Absolutely. And when you look at that work and then combined with the touring that you did, your fan base is certainly out there and really interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting collection of people, and I hear from very interesting people, and just got an interesting inquiry the other day. There's a Groves Dictionary of Music, of course, but there's also a Groves Dictionary of Musical Instruments. And I got an inquiry that would I be interested in including entries for some of the PDQ Bach weird instruments that only he used. if this turns out, if pans out, we may get to immortalize those instruments. So it's nice. You never know what's going to happen.
Were those the trombone, right?
The trombone, exactly. That's one of them. The windbreaker is another
right.
one. And so I will do a description of how these instruments are made and send it to them.
And were they ever fully realized in your mind of what they would be, what they would look like, what they would sound like, how they
well,
would
be? Well, yeah. And we built them all. I and my assistant, Bill Walters, who was very handy with his hands. And an instrument like the trombone is very simple because it's just part of a bassoon and part of a trombone. And it makes this incredible sound. It sounds like a squadron of B-27s flying over. But some of them you had to actually manufacture, and Bill's help came in very handy at those times.
And those become more than just props, don't they?
Yeah, they're real instruments in the sense you really do play notes on them. And all of the PDQ Bach music is available from my publisher now, and these pieces get played all over the country. Some of them take quite a bit of building, but you know, college students have too much time on their hands. No matter how hard the college, they seem to have too much time on their hands. And so they build incredibly complicated instruments like the hardart. There was a concerto for horn and hardart. And the hardart was made up of about 27 different objects and everything. But it gets performed every once in a while. I'm amazed.
That's wonderful. And that wordplay you enjoy, you have fun with that.
Yeah, I love it. I always have. I mean, it's one of my major weaknesses, punning.
I don't know if it's a weakness, but
you know, I actually like punning. Actually, punning is one of the few forms of humor that does not necessarily have any cruelty involved to it. I mean,
right?
Wordplay. I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. There's just something satisfying about wordplay, I just wanted to mention, if I could. That there's, for some reason, and this is a complete coincidence, again, in a couple of weeks, on August 5th, there's going to be another concert in Phoenicia, which is the next town over from Woodstock.
Yep.
Featuring two of my pieces, a concerto for piano and chorus, and a comedy for chorus called Go for Broke. So there's going to be a saturation of Peter Schickele this summer.
That's wonderful. I can think of no better way to celebrate the summer of 2012 than a saturation of Peter Schickele.
It's called the Festival of Voices in Phoenicia, and I guess we don't have time for phone numbers and stuff. But,
well, it's
anyway,
a Phoenicia Festival of the Voice, and I think they're going to come on and they're going to tell us more about that.
Okay,
but if you put in Phoenicia Festival of the Voice, it comes up. If you go to woodstockguild.org, you can find out about tomorrow's big event. It's 8 p.m. tomorrow night at the Maverick Concert Hall to benefit the Woodstock Birdcliff Guild. Peter Schickele, you're great, and I thank you so much. Just a delight to have you here, and thank you for all the hours of enjoyment.
My great pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.